WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Battle Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are...
And it is awesome!
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire!
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button and then click the checkbox down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also follow the channel. You can subscribe the regular way. You can hang out and chat, or you can listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're live. We have new emotes in chat for followers, so follow the channel, twitch.tv/wcheerlive. Do the thing. Get some emotes like our bush for when we bush camp at Fortnite. Or the
Y'all like my bush?
Or the boomstick when Brent blows himself up. We have the hashtag favorite because, you know, reasons. And probably a couple, and we have Teddy, Sea Breeders Teddy. Probably a couple more, or at least one more coming. I don't know, I have to think about it, yes. So, yeah, we have follower emotes. Tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or here, twitch.tv/WHLive, and interact with us live, because we have stuff to talk about.
So I'm just going to get this out of the way, because I can. It's my show. To the Braves. Thank you for not cocking that up. Y'all, the Atlanta Braves won the World Series this week. Yay! Very excited. Very happy for them. They didn't screw it up. The jinx, the Atlanta jinx, did not come to pass. Hopefully it applies to UGA, though. It's okay if that happens. We're all fine with that. Not really, but I'm fine with it. So, you know, because I can't stand UGA. So, yes, you can finally talk about it, Brent. You can talk about UGA all you want, because they suck. Anyway, so, woo! But yeah, we have a lot to talk about tonight on this show. We've got some breaking news that happened tonight. Thank you, WWE. We're also going to be doing a tier list tonight where we are going to be rating the Undertaker's looks and talking about them because we needed a discussion topic, and why not? It's got spurned out of a news item, so, you know, let's do the thing and let's go. So I say we don't waste any more time and dive right into news brought to you by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211.
Let's roll.
All right. So we were going to start with another story.
Let's start with that one still.
Okay.
Save the other for last.
Okay. So AEW announced this week... Actually, I believe yesterday or Tuesday evening.
Tuesday night, right after the World Series.
That former AEW champion John Moxley has entered inpatient rehab for alcohol. And it is not said how long he will be gone, but he is currently seeking treatment for it. So we send our love and best wishes to Mox and Renee and their baby girl as he enters rehab and hopefully gets the help that he needs.
He's been running the as CM Punk put it, the hamster wheel for a long time, and he's getting off the hamster wheel and probably needs to.
Probably needs to, yeah.
Because when you're beat up, you're banged up, and you're on the road, what cures body aches? Alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
When you're depressed, when you're struggling, what cures it? Alcohol.
And he has had a history of problems with this kind of thing. And he's been able to get himself help and gets himself clean. And so hopefully he gets himself help and he gets himself clean and he's able to continue the process and stay clean. I mean, cause we all want him healthy. We all want him happy, but he has documented in the past how he's had issues. So
this was a point that has been made a bunch of times. We're gonna make it here. If you need help, get it.
Yes. There is no shame in entering rehab. There is no shame in falling off the wagon. The important thing is that you get yourself back on the wagon or you get on the wagon to begin with. It is okay to say that you have an addiction. It is okay to get help for your addiction. Mm-hmm. Nobody is going to shame you for that.
Nope.
At all. The same thing if you're depressed. The same thing if you're struggling emotionally, mentally. It is okay to say, I can't do this. I need help. Because sometimes you do. Sometimes things are so bad and so stressful that you can't take them on your own. And they're going to pull you down and weigh you down. So you have no other choice. You need to get help in that instance. So if you're struggling, please get help. There's no shame in it.
Nope. No shame at all. So go. We hope for the best with him. And hopefully comes out the other end a better person for it. And conquers his demons. It could be 30 days. Could be 60 days. Could be 2 weeks. Who knows?
Yeah, we're not sure. It's one step at a time for him, but he's already taken the big first step, which is admitting that he has a problem. Mm-hmm. So,
and it was probably a long time coming, too.
Probably. But I don't know. I mean, nobody knows what's really going on with him because he plays it so close to the vest. But the important thing is, like I said, that he's getting help.
Yep, and then they had announced him because he had a lot of commitments coming up that he will not be able to make due to it. So that's why the world knows.
Yes, I know. And so we're going to move on from there. Impact has signed Speedball Mike Bailey, so congratulations to him.
Yeah, congrats to him.
Stars has renewed Heels for season 2. So okay. Yay. Everybody watch for my dad. He's probably going to be an extra on it again.
In case you weren't aware, her father was on the first season as an extra.
I think he's in episode 3. He's in the trailer. We know he's in the trailer for sure.
We know he's in the trailer, yeah.
I haven't actually watched season 1 yet, but he was watching it, and I think he said he's in at least episode 3. But he's going to go back, and he's going to try to be an extra on it again. So hopefully crossing fingers, he gets it. So congratulations to Stephen Amell in cast as Heels is renewed for season 2. Tom Lawler is done with MLW.
Yeah, he's one of Philly Tom Lawler, who's now going to be a free agent, is former MMA fighter. I think he was in the UFC for a little bit. I think he was on UFC... Fighter? The Fight Night? Whatever the reality show was, I think he was on that. Yeah, the one with CM Punk. So he and a few others have been there, are no longer with MLW. I think his contract came up and he chose to go elsewhere. So we'll see where he ends up. Maybe in NXT, maybe in AEW, or just... Ultimate Fighter, that's what I was looking for. I believe he was on that. Anyway, what else?
So, moving on, let's do the Blame Brands real quick, and then we'll do the WWE news.
All right, let's get into the Blame Brands.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
What would we do without you? Oh, let me see. Let me see, Brent. What would we do without you?
A lot of things.
That's not true.
I mean, he bails on us all the time now.
He does. He big times us all the time. He just doesn't want to play Fortnite with us anymore. I see how it is, Brent.
He doesn't want to do the video game stuff anymore. He just bails and, yeah, you know.
He has to be a responsible adult.
He said to us on Sunday he would have more time for video games this week, and he's had less.
And for the record, I don't suck. I blow. Anyway, mirror ball journey for Miz is over. Unfortunately,
Hold on. We just did the Blame Brent intro. You skipped all over.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was yelling at Brent. Blame Brent. So up first, and this was a weird week because we had two duplicate injuries for people. Danhausen suffered a broken tibia and fibia. He's having surgery tomorrow on it. So hopefully he recovers very quickly.
# Blame Brent.
Or Quickhausen, is that the thing? I don't know. I love his Twitter. His Twitter's amazing. Stark has an injured knee.
Do my segment.
# Blame Brent.
I mean, we don't have to do your segment. We can just skip over it. And finally, Mance Warner has a broken tibia and fibia as well.
# Blame Brent.
Danhausen and Mance Warner, not together, but same day, but had the same injury.
It's very strange. Yeah. It's very, very strange. So anyway, moving on to WWE. As I said, the mirror ball journey for Miz is over. He was eliminated this week from Dancing with the Stars, which makes me really sad because the one thing that I have to applaud the Miz for doing, which he does in everything, is just the full-sing commitment that he made to Dancing with the Stars and also his and Maryse's social media game on it and how they continue to just, like, promote the ever-living shit out of it together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I applaud them for that. Like, Miz, he's not the world's greatest dancer, but damn it, he tried.
There's one thing you can say about the Miz, besides awesome. Puts 100% into everything he does.
I mean, this man dressed up as Scar and Genie from Aladdin, so I full sing commitment. And Pinhead, he dressed up as Pinhead too. Like, just, I have to applaud him. So, I'm sad it's over, but it's good that he did it. I think he really enjoyed it. You can tell he really enjoyed it. Because he was posting all these really cute pictures of, like, and videos of him and his girls dancing. And it's like, aw, that's so sweet. So, sorry, Miz. Jimmy Wang Yang and Petey Williams are both auditioning to be producers for WWE, so best of luck to them. Hopefully they do the thing and get the job.
They're on the following process of the evaluation, so they've been, you know, following along, trying to work themselves in and see if it fits for them. So that's cool.
Yeah, hopefully it does.
Both men with years of experience can only help.
Petey can finally gatekeep the Canadian Destroyer.
He could teach people how to properly do the Canadian Destroyer in every single match. He could be the producer or who has to write in, do Canadian Destroyer, and when he sees it, he will rip it out.
It's his fondest wish come true.
It's my move, damn it.
I made that move, damn it. It's not a cutoff move, it's a finisher. Because it was, at one time, the Canadian Destroyer was like the most like devastating move and impact. Like, he hit that and like nobody could touch it. It's like it was over. And now it's just like people hit Canadian Destroyers all the time and you're like, god damn it. And the key is that they're not Petey Williams.
That's the key. Yeah.
Yeah. The key to the Canadian Destroyer being absolutely devastating is in fact Petey Williams. Just saying.
little papa pump.
Oh god, that was horrible. God, that was horrible. Bless him, he tried.
I mean, he ran with it. It was great. He ran with it.
Oh, Lord help us. Anyway.
What else we got?
Moving on, WWE is holding a pre-sale for WrestleMania tickets on the 10th of November, and it seems like they're running Taker out to be a part of the pre-sale party. So, yay.
Yeah, they're going to have a bunch of WWE superstars, including The Undertaker, at this event on the 10th, you said?
Yes.
Yeah, so, go see The Undertaker.
Actually, hold on. I need to check that image for something.
Did they update the image? I doubt it.
What is this, WrestleMania 38?
Yeah.
I don't...
You don't see...
See, I can't find it.
I found it. Let's see.
Because I want to see who's on it, aside from Taker.
The scheduled appear includes... Nikki Ash, Reggie, Doudrop, The Street Profits, Dana Brooke, Hall of Famer Jimmy the Mouth of South Hart, and a special appearance by WWE legend, The Undertaker.
We've upgraded him to WWE legend now.
Yeah.
They need to put Hall of Famer in front of it, but yeah. Also,
I mean, WWE Champion Big E as well.
Okay. Yay, Big E. But yeah, WWE, please don't use a 20-year-old picture of that man. Thank you. Just take new pictures of him.
So chat, this is the reason why we have a topic tonight. This is the tier why we have a tier list, because they're using a picture of the American Badass.
I told you he's not putting on eyeliner for this.
Chat, they have a picture of him doing the American Badass gimmick on the thing. Hold on. You all need to see this. One moment.
This is a visual, so you know, visual. If you're watching on Twitch, you get to see it.
On Twitch, you get a visual. There. Boom. Boom. Tickets go on sale. Boom. There.
That is a 20-year-old picture of Mark Calloway.
20-year-old picture of Mark Calloway.
It's a great picture. Don't get me wrong. It's a wonderful picture of him, but why are you using a 20-year-old picture of him? Just take a new one.
I mean, that would only make sense, right?
But this is what spawned our topic for later, where we're talking about Undertaker's best looks. Is this Mark Calloway picture is just like, oh yes, we need to talk about all the fashion choices of the Undertaker, because there are some good ones in there that we need to talk about. So that is that this picture right here on your technology screen is the exact reason. It's all its fault.
It is legitimately the reason. For it.
Blame WWE for what is going to happen later in this show.
Yeah.
So moving on from...
Oh, hold on. Before we do that, tickets will go on sale to the public on the 12th via SeatGeek.com.
Ding. Not Ticketmaster, which is interesting. Jeff Hardy will be doing the Broken Skull sessions on Thanksgiving, so everybody tune in. That should be a really good interview. And that's it. That's all. That's it for the news. Nothing else. Nope.
Okay.
We're just getting ready to talk about it.
And you're probably not going to like what you hear, because we're not going to tell you all the things you want to hear.
So I'm going to read the list, and then we're going to discuss. So WWE announcer Q3 profits today, or announced their Q3 numbers today. It was anticipated that there would be releases as the results, and there were. And so in no particular order, here are the releases as they stand right now. It's not anticipated there will be any more. Keith Lee, Mia Yim, Nia Jax, Eva Marie, Karrion Kross, Scarlett Bordeaux, Frankie Monet, Ember Moon, Oni Lorcan, B-Fab, Jesse Kamea, Trey Baxter, Katrina Cortez, Jeet Rama, Zeta Ramir, Graham Metalik, Lindsay Dorado, and Harry Smith.
Okay. Everyone got their pitchforks? Everyone gonna get their pitchforks and say nasty things about WWE? Are we all gonna do it? There's one shocking name. Only one shocking name on this list. And you're not in the ballpark, chat. Not in the ballpark on it. The most shocking release on this list is B-Fab. And no, they did not go scorched earth.
They didn't. They really didn't.
We will explain why here in a moment. B-Fab is the most shocking name because she is a part of Hit Row, and they're looking to push Hit Row. Or maybe they're not.
I think they're looking to push Hit Row as a trio, and they're not wishing to push them as a group. Or I think they might be looking to move somebody else into Hit Row, and they just didn't have a place for B-Fab. It just doesn't make a lot of sense, because, I mean, she was green. She wasn't wonderful.
Completely green, as we saw in her match in NXT. She was not ready to be on the main roster as a wrestler.
No, not at all. And I mean, what we saw from her wasn't wonderful in terms of wrestling, but there was definitely promise there. Like, I think if you had given her more time to learn, I think you could have had something there. So it's a little weird that they just had her sign a new contract like last week, and now they're like, oh, hey, yeah, here's the door, bye.
Wouldn't say she even signed a new contract yet.
No, I think she had. I think they had her sign the...
I wouldn't think the main roster contract went through yet.
I don't know.
Because that would be a lot more hoops to jump through for her. Okay, but so there are names on the list. Grand Metalik and Lindsay Dorado. They want it out. They're gone. They're free to do whatever they please. They weren't happy any longer. They're not on 205 Live. They don't have a place to work. Okay, good. They can go back and go to AAA. They can do whatever they want. Fantastic. What they wanted. Harry Smith just signed. He barely had a cup of coffee. He worked one dark match right when they came back on the road. Zayda Ramir, Jeet Rama, Katrina Cortez, Jesse Camara. They're just, they're bodies. That's what they were.
I think a lot of them there were. I think Jesse Camara had been there the longest, but like Trey Baxter, Katrina Cortez, Jeet Rama, and Zeta Ramir, they hadn't been there for, I think, a year. They were in one of the last signing groups or the last series of signing groups.
Okay. Oney Lorcan, solid worker, but he's not any, he's a really good wrestler that doesn't fit the WWE mold.
The most that they ever did with Oney was they had him do a series of tag matches and a series of singles matches. And Oney's an incredibly talented wrestler.
No doubt.
But he was never, I feel like, at least for how they used him in WWE, ever going to achieve that single status that they maybe wanted him to achieve. And he's not at all bitter. He posted a very lovely thank you message out on Twitter, basically addressing his no compete and when he was going to be free and all that other thing. And he was very thankful to WWE for the time because he was there for 6 years.
Biff is going to yell at you in all caps now. Frankie Monet came in at a point where Triple H had power and then lost it because of a youth movement. Frankie Monet is an independent talent that they're not going to push.
Frankie Monet, I feel like they brought her in and they just never really gave her an identity. She's just this really fabulous lady with this cute ass dog, and she has this, you know, she has this group of with her, like this entourage, and they merged Frankie and Robert Stone together and they had them running around, and that all kind of fell off by the wayside. Like, they could just never get a clear direction with Frankie, and you never really knew who she was. Like, she was fabulous and she had a great look, but just like in terms of a character, it's like, who is she supposed to be? Because I feel like Frankie kind of got a little lost when Mandy showed up, because they brought Mandy down about the same time that they had Frankie and they were trying to push her, and they just went with Mandy over Frankie at that point, and they began to push Mandy to the moon.
Frankie came in with the last set of indie talent that they signed, and it she's a wrong place, wrong time. She can, you know, go back and now be Ty Valkyrie.
Yeah, she's got a 30-day. She's saying 30 days, I'm back, so
she'll be fine. Okay. Let's talk about Eva Marie. Everyone threw pitchforks when they signed her. She came in. She did her job. She was successful at doing her job, and now she's going back to being a movie star. I don't think there are any bad feelings with the company. I think if the WWE needed her again, they would do business again. They also know it's probably this. She probably knows in her heart of hearts this isn't for her, especially with the travel back. Probably not something she wants to do, because I don't think she's fully committed. But she came in, she did her business, and now she's gone.
Eva and WWE both got something out of it. Eva got to raise her star status back up a little bit. She got her name back out there. She got her relevancy back up again, which is exactly what you need as the movie industry is taking back off again. Because what hurt Eva is that Hollywood shut down for 8 or so months because of the pandemic. And even then, trying to get work once it started opening back up was probably difficult for her to do. So it's, you know, with everybody vying for projects and everything like that, it's okay, I need to raise my star status. How am I going to do that? I can go back to WWE. And they really did use her the best way that you could. They used her to get somebody else over. They used her to get Doudrop over. And that was the thing. So they, you know, they put her in the weird match with Alexa and they had her do the thing with Alexa. It got Doudrop over. And they never really did anything with Eva after that, and she just kind of went on her way. And so it's like, I don't, like you said, I don't think there's any hard feelings there on either side. I think they're both good.
She did her job.
She did her job, because, I mean, let's all be real. Eva is not the world's greatest wrestler. She never was. Does she try? Yeah, she tries. And I applaud her for trying. The gimmick was just...
She came in, did the gimmick of she got heat. She got heat.
She got heat. The gimmick was just a little stupid because they didn't acknowledge that she got fired the first time. They're acting like she left of her own volition, and that's, if all of us remember, that's not what happened. So that was a little weird, but it's like, I think I really actually kind of wanted to see Eva versus Bayley, the super role model versus the role model.
Yeah, it would've been fun, but Bayley got hurt.
So it was like, okay, well, it is what it is. So I'm sorry that she got fired. Like, I'm sorry everybody got fired, but I think there's no hard feelings there at all.
Then let's talk about Nia Jax. You were going to read reports on exactly why Nia Jax is no longer with the company. It is very clear why she's not no longer with the company. And has nothing to do with her in-ring work.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with injuries. We're living through it. That's all. Okay, next. Keith Lee and Mia Yim.
Supposedly on Nia. Supposedly. We don't know what actually happened, but that is a supposedly.
Yeah.
Keith Lee and Mia Yim, I feel bad for both of them, but I think, honestly, this is for the best. Because they weren't doing anything with Mia. They weren't really doing anything with Keith. They were starting to do the Bearcat thing, but it didn't seem like they were, like, super behind it.
It didn't it didn't get over as they were hoping. They did not waste him. They saved him.
Well, and I mean, it's like, I think it's better because they could both go back out on the indies. They can both go working again. It could have been that maybe the travel wasn't conducive for Keith's health because he's had a lot of health problems that WWE did help him through, by the way.
Yeah, let's talk about it. They saved his life, Chat. They saved his life. They caught a medical problem before it could have been really, really bad. But let's all be frank about it. Did they waste him? So, like, when they were starting to push him and started to get into a momentum with him, a medical situation came through. Like, they were, if you think about it, when he was finally brought up to Raw, and they started pushing him, and then he mysteriously disappeared because of a medical problem that he had to battle through. He had to fight for his life. You can Google all about it.
Yeah.
So, maybe the road life isn't what is best for him with the WWE schedule. Other factors could play in. He had a hard year.
He had a really hard 2020 and 2021, and so I think ultimately for the both of them, this is for the best. By the way, everybody that's upset that they're firing the couples, it's probably better that they fire them together because you know what? Then one person isn't in the company and another person isn't at home or isn't in another company. Because that's always really super awkward and then you don't get to see each other. I think Mia has been Keith's companion and wife and or fiance and caretaker ever since he got sick, so it makes zero sense to keep one and get rid of the other, especially if he needs her help. Like, we don't actually know what the situation is with them. We're presuming that he's healthy because they were pushing him actively on TV, but we don't know. So it makes sense that if he does need her there, that she should be there with him. And I can't argue with it. They weren't doing anything with her. They were just wasting her sitting backstage.
And I'm gonna put it like this. Everyone was clamoring for Lana to be released when Miro/Rusev was released, and she wasn't. Now you're complaining that people are getting released together. What do you want?
Yeah.
Like, legitimately, what do you want from the company? Do you want them to not release them together? Then you complain that the other one's still there and the other one isn't.
Make up your minds, Internet.
And I'm going to talk about this heel thing. They didn't turn him a full heel yet on television. They never got it started, so, like, don't say it was a bonehead move. It's not a bonehead move. You never saw how it fully played out. That's all. Okay.
But the good thing is that they can wait out the 90 days, and they can start working on the indies. Mia's raring and ready to go. Wouldn't be surprised if one or both of them turned up in, like, Impact.
Mia can go back to Impact. It's a good place for her.
And Keith can go with her if he wants to, or he can go to AW, he can go to indies, he can do whatever he wants. You know, it's really up to him what he wants to do, and same thing for her. But I think them getting let go is probably the best thing that could happen for them. And I don't mean that in a derogatory sense. I mean that now they can go work on the indies and they can set their own schedule and they can do what they want as opposed to trying to fit into the WWE mold, which I don't think they necessarily did on terms of Raw and SmackDown. Like, Keith and Mia did better in NXT, because at the time, NXT was geared towards characters like them, but they just could never find that spot on the main roster, and Retribution certainly did not help Mia at all.
No, it didn't. It set her back. It set her path back, but that's professional wrestling.
In a nutshell.
It really is. And then there's Karrion Kross and Scarlett Bordeaux.
Okay, I'm just going to say this right now. I had a funny feeling Scarlett was coming.
And I told you last night about Karrion.
I had a kind of an inkling because we had not seen Scarlett on the main roster. They had split them up and she hadn't been around, and she started posting out on Instagram about always having an escape plan. And so when she started posting stuff like that, it's like, okay, all right, I think they're getting out.
I have to
wonder if this was requested.
They probably asked because the things weren't going well. And instead of being wasted, they would get out and do it elsewhere. Do whatever you want to do elsewhere, and that's fine.
Scarlett was a little much in terms of the sexual innuendo and the way that she dressed for the WWE product. You can't have her going out there tits and ass out. She was just, I'm just going to say it, she was just too sexy for the WWE product. The gimmick as a whole was too sexy for the WWE product. It worked in NXT. It was fine in NXT, but in terms of the main roster product, you don't have anybody out there walking around in latex and with, you know, and all and everything that she and Karrion were doing. So I understand why they didn't have her with them is because they couldn't make her work in the equation potentially with the way she dressed. And this is just me projecting. I don't know if that's actually why they did it, but I feel like that could be one of the reasons why. It could be maybe she didn't want to do it. It could be they wanted to take it in a completely different direction and have her on her own. I don't really know, but I feel like that could have been one of the factors as you look at the way that Scarlett was in NXT and it just doesn't fit on the main roster because you look at how the women dress and it's very toned back on the main roster versus how the women dress in NXT. Because you can get away with more in NXT. It's like Toxic Attraction. You look at the way that Toxic Attraction dresses and you don't see anybody necessarily doing that on the main roster. And there's nothing wrong with it in either instance, by the way. I'm not saying one is better than the other, but I just feel like that the whole Scarlett gimmick and with the way that she fit with Karrion, I don't think it worked. But it didn't help Karrion because she was a major part of the act. And so when they brought him up, they had him lose to Jeff Hardy as a fuck you to NXT, that didn't help him. And Karrion was looking at a second or third repackage since he came up from NXT in, like, what, 6 months? Mm-hmm. Not even?
Something like that.
So I'm not surprised by this.
No, it's not surprising. And here's a better way to explain Scarlett. She's too TV-14 for TV-PG.
There you go. That's what I was trying to say.
Sum it up in that little short of a span. Too TV.
I was trying to explain that and be tactful, and I was just really bad at it. I'm sorry. And if I offend anybody, I'm really terribly sorry. No. It was not meant to be offensive at all.
She's too much of a smoke show with the sex appeal for the main roster. It doesn't work. It's not what they're selling.
But keep posting on Instagram, thank you.
Well, Brent, then sit in your corner in your office and complain about it to somebody.
Go pull out your cot and cry into your pillow.
Ember Moon sucks, but she came back down to the company, to NXT, when they're rebuilding. Cot. C-O-T. I knew what you think you heard, but that's not what she said.
I mean, you can go find one of those, too. It might help you. I don't know.
If that's what you're into.
Ember, I feel really bad for, because they did a wonderful job on Ember's first run of building her up and really making her look like a star in NXT. And did they wait a little bit long to give her the title? Yes, absolutely. And then they sent her up to the main roster and they were getting ready to strap the rocket to her on the main roster and she got hurt. And she recuperated that, she came back and she got hurt again. And then she was gone and she was gone and she was gone and nobody was sure if she was going to be able to come back. And they did a really good job of like building up her return because they had the mysterious person on the motorcycle in NXT, which I'm still not sure how it fits into her current gimmick, but okay. And everybody thought it was Bo Dallas. We were all hoping it was Bo Dallas. But it was Ember Moon, and it was wonderful it was Ember Moon, because she had a really catastrophic injury where she could have potentially had to retire if it didn't heal right. And I think she was borderline getting ready to retire when they said she could come back. And they put her in NXT, and she was with Shotzi, and she could just never really find, I feel like, her footing in NXT, and especially in the new NXT. It just didn't work.
No.
And I feel horrible for her because she's incredibly talented. And I hope she goes somewhere and she does wonderful things. I hope everybody on this list goes and does wonderful, amazing things. Because they should and they deserve to. And it sucks for them. Like, it just really sucks. Like, I've seen, you know, people that they're like, you know, laughing and crying, to some people being like, I'm super grateful that I did it. Like, Jesse Kamea posted a really lovely message. It was Katrina, I think, that posted a really lovely message talking about how it had been her dream since she was, you know, a kid to be a WWE superstar. And it doesn't matter if it lasted 8 minutes or 8 years. She did it. And absolutely nobody can take that away from her. And she's fucking right. And you know what? Here's the deal. You can always go back out. You can always make a name for yourself. And you can always come back. Plenty of people have done it. Everybody on this list can too.
And chat, I'm going to say this because we're going to move to NXT. NXT here in a second. the world we're living in, if you don't do the thing, consequences happen. Because in a world where you travel, you gotta be safe. Simple as that.
LeMans, in terms of Lana and her ravishing Russian run, different time. Way different time. Like, and Lana always pushed the envelope with that in terms of everything she did. She really did push the envelope hard, and I don't think that necessarily won her a lot of fans, because I remember her getting in trouble quite a few times for some of the things that she did. I'm not saying the way that she dressed was bad. There were some questionable fashion choices, but I'm not saying it was bad. And by questionable, I mean it just did not look good on her at all. It was kind of like, what is going on here? But, like, I'm not saying that Scarlett's clothing choices are the reason why she got fired. I am not saying that at all.
No. Just why the act doesn't work.
Yeah, it's why basically, and they probably looked at it and they're like, we can't have this on TV. That could have been a reason. I don't know why. They could have looked at it and been like, we want this on TV by itself, and maybe she didn't want to do it by herself. Like, that whole situation with Scarlett was really super weird, because he came up and she did not come with him, and then she was on the inactive list and nobody really knew why. And there was never any explanation as to why she was on the inactive list, because they did audition her on her own. They auditioned them together, and they auditioned her on her own and him on his own. And they ultimately, I think, decided to have him on his own at first. And then I think she was supposed to show up, right? And like save him, because I think the whole thing that they originally said was that he was supposed to be on a losing streak, and then she was going to roll up. And
then he never had the losing streak. He had one loss.
Because he lost to Jeff Hardy and everybody lost their shit. And rightfully so.
Yeah, so.
You know, so it is what it is. But like I said, everybody on this list is exceptionally talented. Everybody on this list deserves good and amazing and happy things. And I have little doubt that all of them will achieve it one way or another. And with that, let's do NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
Many, huh?
Yep. That's why I said what I said just before. Yep. 2021. It's a thing. All right. NXT kicked off with your new NXT Women's Champion, Mandy Rose. She celebrated her victory. We saw how her girls won the tag titles. We also saw them taking out Zoe Stark. And Io didn't like the things she was saying, so she came out and wants the attention of Mandy Rose. And they're ready to fight. Mandy jumped her, and then we had a 3-on-1 beatdown until Casey Catanzaro and Kaden Carter made the save.
Mandy, what the hell was that top? I mean, we want to talk about all like just fashion choices. What was that thing with the things dangling? Your top had tentacles. What the hell? Like, it just, and I understand what it's supposed to be. You're supposed to hook something else into that top, and it's supposed to be strappy. Probably. And it goes on the bottom and connects to other things. I don't know. But you didn't have the strap portion, and so you just had these dangly bits on your top. It was really distracting. Like, the promo was fine, but I kept trying to figure out what was going on with the dangly bits. And this was nice because you had Io come out. She took exception. You know, so Io's probably going to be the first challenger for Mandy. You had Toxic Attraction beat her up. And then we had a nice little interaction backstage with Mandy and Dakota.
I didn't do it to help you. I did it to hurt Raquel.
And Mandy's like, okay, cool, thanks. Dakota and her very pink hair.
God, it's so pink.
But I'm not opposed to it.
It could
because
be...
she looked like a fucking star.
She does. It could just be a little less pink.
Just got it done, I think, when she washes it out a little bit.
Yeah, it just needs to be like one shade not as bright. It'd be better. It's just very anime pink.
Which looks good on her. But yeah, she I love the new gear, too, that she has.
It works.
It's a great look for her.
She took out Coral Jade.
I felt bad for her. But it was a good little match. It was entertaining.
It got Dakota back on television. That's all that matters. Okay. The setup for Zion Quinn and Robert Stone. So Zion Quinn comes down. He does his thing. And then Robert Stone comes out wearing his romper and talks about how, before we fight, I can beat you in a dance contest. So Robert does his bad dancing and whatever. So Quinton's like, I didn't come here to dance. I came to kick your ass. And then Robert Stone called him a chicken and dared him to sing. So they asked him to play some music. You know who the head booker of NXT right now is? Shawn Michaels. And he had to sing Shawn's theme, and you know it was just a rib plate on him. Go out there and sing my song.
But he worked it.
He worked it.
He owned it.
Then Zion beat his ass and won the match. But
I know, but no, I want to talk about it because I've got the gif up of Zion Quinn dancing like, dude, where did that come from? Like, when I say my ovaries were not prepared, my ovaries were not prepared for that at all. It's like, okay. Because then he started stripping. Like, he gave us a little strip tease in the middle of the ring. I have no idea what was going on in this. I'm not against it. I am not offended. I just, it's, where did this come from? There's suddenly, this is a male review in the middle of my wrestling. This is everything I could ask for and more. So, I mean, you know, we could do it, they could do it again. It'd be okay. And then, you know, Legado del Fantasma, the cheeky cheeky for them, had to check him out on his way backstage because he's all topless and everything. So, you know,
before you
got to do that.
Before any of all that, you had Joe Gacy cutting him promo.
This is Bray Wyatt 2.0. Fucking Bray Wyatt 2.0. It's exactly what it is, and I'm so bitter. He does a good job with it, but you can just tell based on the promo package and the way that they're putting it together that, yeah, this is a more, they ain't in the swamp anymore, kind of cult gimmick, and it just breaks my heart.
Legado del Fantasma defeated Kyle O'Reilly and Von Wagner.
This is okay.
It was fine. I'm still waiting to figure out more on Von Wagner. He's learning, I guess.
I think they're trying to figure out who he is. I think they're trying to find him a personality, because so far I haven't seen a lot of one with him. There's clearly something there with him. They just have to figure out what it is and how to, like, bring it out.
Yeah.
Because you can tell there's something there. It's just he's kind of having a hard time right now.
Andre Chase is alive. And he took on and he got an open challenge and they got beat down by Bron Breakker, who still wants more of Tommaso.
Okay, I can't have Andre Chase and that Duke guy on the same show. I just can't. I get them confused. Because they look alike.
We're going to get to Duke in a minute.
I like Andre Chase. Like, I really do. But I can't have him and Duke on the same show. Because I will. I get them confused. Because they seriously look like the same person.
We had some interaction between Toxic Attraction and Imperium.
They were just, they were out there just flirting with the boys. They, and they, Imperium was far too serious for them.
Yeah. We had Lashing Out with Lash Legend, Tony D'Angelo on the show, and the guy's alive. I mean, they're still alive. I mean, you know, they're good. He just has an armor in the cast. Everything's good.
We do not condone murder on NXT. Thank you.
So, there you go. Solo Sikoa? I forget how to pronounce it. Sikoa? Versus Jeet Rama. Solo won. Quick little match.
Poor Jeet. Poor Jeet.
Yeah.
They're building him up. I really don't see him long term for NXT. I think they're going to build him up, get the character established, and get him ready to go. And then I think he's going on the main roster.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of doing the whole kind of the Samoa Joe thing, but not really the Samoa Joe thing, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of doing that, so I feel like they're just going to, like, get him up and get him going, and then they'll send him to the main roster, and he'll either slot in with, like, Roman's group, or they'll put him on Raw, and they'll have him on Raw.
Boa defeated Grayson Waller. It was a quick little match. He had LA Knight at ringside on causing distractions.
I'm not sure about this. I'm sorry. I'm just not sure about any of this. It's not bad. I don't know. I can't get into it. I can't feel it.
Did you get into Duke Hudson's poker room?
Not really.
A bunch of vignettes all night that ended up with Cameron Grimes winning in the end.
So the setup to this is that at the Halloween party last week, Duke is hitting up Cameron. And basically he's trying to fleece Cameron for money because he's kind of a card shark. And so he invites Cameron to his over-filtered poker room with his gold vest and gold pants. Why it's gold, I don't know. Why he's topless, I don't know. But he's playing poker with his titties out, and they're playing Texas Hold'em, and or a version of Texas Hold'em, and basically he's trying to fleece Cameron for money, except Cameron keeps winning and winning and winning until we finally, and people leave, and, you know, because Cameron's got the girls all around him, and then, you know, everybody eventually leaves, and it comes down to the final hand, and Cameron has a pair of twos, because Duke goes all in, and Cameron goes all in, and Duke thinks he's got it, Then Cameron pulls out a pair of twos and he beats Duke. And Cameron walks away with all the money because two's the moon.
It's something.
I don't know about Duke. I just don't. I don't know about this whole gimmick. I haven't been on board with it since it debuted. I don't see where they're going with it yet. And I know it hasn't had enough time, but I just don't see, I don't see a long-term shelf life for it as it is right now. I think it needs to evolve into something else. And I think they need to start doing something with Cameron Grimes, because Cameron Grimes is starting to stall a little bit. You've done a really good job of getting him to this point. And I know they're setting stuff up with Duke, and they're setting the feud up with Duke. So hopefully that will do nice things for both of them. But I just think you need to grow Cameron Grimes a little bit more, too.
There's this weird MSK promo on the show.
Yeah.
They're still doing a gimmick. Oh, well, tell me the history about it, about the MSK, and then you have the noise cover of the story. It was something. I don't know why they were cutting a promo on a bus stop. It was weird.
And they missed their bus.
They did.
And then somebody gave somebody else a piggyback ride.
It was something. I don't know.
It was interesting.
The god of NXT, Tommaso Ciampa, came out. He was talking about everything. He held on to his championship last week, unlike others. He was cut off by Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. And they're putting Tommaso in check because it's not about him anymore. It's about the new school. And Carmelo is the leader. Ciampa says, as long as Hayes is North American champion, Ciampa will take it back. He won't take it back. See, Hayes says the NXT... Hayes says he's the A champion of NXT. That's how it is, and that's how it's going to be. Trick was trying to get in Ciampa's face, but Ciampa left him laying with it. You know, the big old right hand. So as Ciampa leaves, music plays, and Gianni Gargano walks out. Because him and Dexter are going to take on Hayes and Trick in a minute. So you had a nice little reunion of sorts between two old rivals.
And Tommaso was like, it's you.
It's you again. This is mine. It's you again.
Hello, darkness.
My old friend.
Like, legit, that's what it was. And yeah, it was perfect. It was so good. And this was a nice match. I'm not gonna lie. It's a good main event to NXT. You had some moments between Johnny and Tommaso that reminded us of the glory days.
And then yeah, it was good. And then it was Dexter and Johnny taking on Carmelo and Trick. Good match. Carmelo and Trick got the win.
I like Johnny and Dexter together.
It works.
They're bonding. Great. They did the slide together. They shared each other's gloves. They went to do rock, paper, scissors to figure out who was going to start the match. And Dexter just gave Johnny the thumbs up. And Johnny was like, okay, you start. I'm not sure what they're doing with Indy or where Indy is.
She was in the tag match last week.
I know she was in the tag match last week, but they've kind of taken her out of the context of Dexter, and I'm not sure why.
We'll see what happens. I think they're slowing it down to rebuild it back up.
Probably, but it was just, it's interesting that you haven't had any interactions with Indy and Dexter, so.
You had the big climax, so you gotta figure out the next
step. More than one, apparently.
Go to break if that.
So when we come back, we're going to be doing Tweet of the Week and a tier list, where we are going to be talking all about Undertaker's best looks. So you don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Mondays. Once Monday Night Raw ends, join us for the Monday Night Raw post show.
Today I have something super serious to talk to you about.
Join us as we break down all the highs, the lows, and all the holy moments that go down every single Monday night.
Exercise!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Do I have your attention now?
Streaming live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
There is no one better at covering age. Than CB Radio Not So Live. Join Sir Rockin, the intern and lone jobber as they go all elite. With their breakdowns of every AEW pay-per-view event. CP Radio Not So Live available after every AEW pay-per-view at wildtalkradio.com and cpradiolive.com.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Did you know you can use support a creator code Rock and Sock in the Fortnite item shop? That's R-O-C-K-N-S-O-C-K in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Henderson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button and the checkbox at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe. It is that simple. You can also follow the channel, subscribe the regular way, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
WWE on Fox. Since Fox is the home of The Rock show, SmackDown, it's our honor to celebrate Rock 25 because it is 25 years of The Rock. And they put this image out. Which version of The Rock was the best? The Nation Rock? The Corporate Champ? The People's Rock? Or Hollywood Rock? Cesaro chimes in and goes, all of them. Don't take any of them for granted.
You see what he did there? He made a rock joke.
Boom, ching. Bad puns. I'm all about the bad puns.
That's what Cesaro lived for.
Okay, I'm going to apologize in advance if this offends anybody, but this was just too good. I had to favorite it. The Hill. Hundreds of QAnon supporters gather in Dallas expecting the return of JFK Jr. Dave Bautista. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that JFK Jr. would detest everything these wackadoos stand for. Just a gut feeling. Shrugging emoji. Lance Storm. That's probably why he didn't show up. Shrugging emoji.
Perfect.
Okay, just go. Just go.
Just go? Complexity Gaming. POV. You're interviewing to work at Complexity. What role are you going for? Whips. Verified Twitch user. Complexity Gaming. Sorry, that position is already filled. Whips.
Aww.
Hello? Electra. Lamau. Get owned. Whips. Ashley? She's Dr. Libo. She's right, though. Ben? Electra. It's okay, buddy. One day you will be as awesome as Lupo and I. Maybe. Dr. Lupo. Don't lie to him, Electra. Rare Drop is hiring. Did you know that? Looking for people. Darkness for tonight. Many more positions are open at Rare Drop. It's crazy how quickly we are growing. Pool Shark, are you hiring missionary? And one other one I forgot I saved. Jeremy Beck had House Hunters on in the background and misheard Deck as Dick and became very confused why HGTV was broadcasting porn. HGTV replied, House porn. And that is what we call Tweet of the Week.
There was some ass slapping last night on HGTV.
There was.
There was some things going on late at night. HGTV after dark, y'all. All right, so now we are going to do our discussion topic, which is a tier list. And as we explained earlier in the show, if you're just tuning in, so WWE put out a graphic this week advertising a WrestleMania presale, and they used a 20-year-old picture of The Undertaker in which he was the American Badass. And this spawned a whole discussion about The Undertaker's looks throughout the 30 years of his career, and this is not all of them, I assure you. So we went out and, you know, thought about it and pulled some of Taker's more interesting, more diverse looks throughout his time in WWE, and we're going to rate them.
So we need your help, Jack, because I forgot about this part. We need to set the tier list, because A, B, C, and D doesn't kind of work for him. So we need, what would we call S tier for him? What would you say S tier for him would be, Lindsay? Like, how are we rating this?
Trying to think of how to rate this. Because I think the S, A, B, D, C, A, B, C, D work. Like, I would say the D is just like...
I got D. What was he thinking?
No, I don't want this to be mean.
I mean, there are a couple that you could... You
You question. Because we're also rating the makeup and the facial hair, too. It's not just the clothes. It's the makeup and the facial hair.
Because I don't want to say anything was bad. So the last one will be, what was he thinking? We'll leave everything else. That work?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
No. It's not what was he thinking. It was a design choice.
Yeah. But we're going to leave it. What was he thinking? Or design choice? What do you want to call it? Design choice?
It was a design choice.
It was a design choice. Okay, got it. All right, where are we starting?
All right, so I say we start with number one on the list, which is original Taker. This is the classic Undertaker with the purple and the gray.
Black and gray.
Or I'm sorry, black and gray with the gloves and the hat and the spats and the tie that he just looked fantastic in. I have to put this at, I kind of really do want to put this in an S.
Okay.
I've always loved this look on him. And I think mainly because that it's the way that he wears that coat, because it's cut so beautifully to fit his body. Mm-hmm. Like, you can tell it's custom made. Like, everything he wears, obviously, in the ring is custom made, right? But some stuff is fit better than others, and this is just set and fit on him so beautifully, and he wears it so well. This was the beginning stages of The Undertaker, the dramatic bitch that we all came to know and love.
Yeah.
And when I call him a dramatic Mitch, I mean that with absolute love.
All right, what's next?
Mean Mark. I feel like we need to put Mean Mark's pasty ass thighs in the S tier, just because this was the only time in 30, like 40 years that they ever saw the light of day.
Okay, it's your tier.
It's the Undertaker in assless chaps. Come on, I have the shirt upstairs.
He did rock some assless chaps.
He did rock assless chaps. Like, come on, look at it. I wish we could blow the picture up, because it is spectacular.
Sadly, we can't.
But yeah, it's the assless chaps are the S tier. That's just it.
Okay.
Purple Glove Taker in his many incarnations. This is just a rehash of the gray and black.
So what it does, what gray in purple does is, gray was more when he was a heel. Purple went to babyface, thus the transition.
And this is where he was still doing the makeup. He's grown his hair out. He started dyeing it black. I don't know. I want to say it's an A.
I would give it an A.
Because I don't think it's quite an S, because it's a rehash of what he was doing. Like, it's still a really good look, but he had started to kind of move away from the coat a little bit.
No, he had a coat.
But he started kind of moving away from, like, that whole look.
Towards the end, yeah.
Yeah, it's like he kind of did this up until he feuded with Mankind, and then once he kind of did Mankind, he completely got away from this, I feel like. So, yeah, I would give this an A. This is where he started getting experimental.
Okay, how about Broken Face? For the mask. Mainly the mask.
Mainly the mask. That's an A.
Yeah.
Or do you feel it should be higher?
No, that's fine.
Phantom of the Opera Taker?
Yeah. We're about to get weird, so here we go. We can adjust as we go if we think they need to move down. But right now, they're good. All right. Let's get weird.
We're going into Leather Daddy Taker stage.
Yep. So we're going with the Bat Taker. There's a lot of things you can say about Bat Taker. It was a choice.
It was a design choice. It was 100% a design choice.
It was 100% a design choice. Like, the wings, the leather.
It's really fucking cool looking, right? But it was a one-off entrance design choice kind of thing that it totally works, right? In everyday context, no. But in this context, it's perfect. But yeah, this was 100% a design choice.
It was like a revamp coming out of the Mankind feud. He was trying something and just...
Because wasn't this like after he went in the coffin and he like ascended to heaven or whatever?
No.
No?
This was still a prime Mankind feud. This was after Paul Bearer broke up with him.
Oh, this is post-breakup.
This is post-breakup.
So he became a leather daddy after he got broken up with. Yeah. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
That's what... This was 96 Survivor Series Taker, if I'm correct. Yeah. This is when, I think... Wasn't Paul Bearer put up in a cage? Yeah.
I think
He was up in the shark cage. Yeah. All right. What's next?
So, up next, we have 97 Taker. So, this is, I feel like, one of the classic golden eras of The Undertaker, where he had that really recognizable gear that he wore for 50 years with, like, the little doodads on the stomach and everything. And it was good gear. Like, it was a good top. Because it was basically just, like, the black tights with the boots and then, like, kind of the loose-fitting top.
But the jacket is what made the look.
The jackets, the ring coats were absolutely what made the look.
So
this is where he got really dramatic with it.
I would say A tier, or would we go S?
That one...
This is 97.
I would go... Actually, I would say A or B for that coat, because it is a little bit more simple. It fits him really well.
So we'll go B. We'll go B on it then.
Yeah, but it was like, this is where he's coming out of, like, the OG Taker stage, and he's starting to kind of go into that golden era stage, golden era.
He's getting some attitude.
He's getting some attitude, as if it's almost an era.
So then we have 98 Taker, where you get a little bit more of the jackets.
This is just where he just went full on with it. This is the WrestleMania jacket from 14 where he fought with Kane. This is where I struggle with this, because the collar on this is really badass just for all the detail work that they have on it, but it's such an awkward fit around his face. Like, it just doesn't, like, it's a full on dramatic supervillain, like, leather. I don't even know how to describe it, because it's not even a coat. Cloak? Is it a cloak? Like, what does it qualify as?
It's not a cloak. It's not a turtle. Streamer pun.
I would give this a B.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I think it's just for me, like, it's just this, because it's just this giant billowing, there's hand gestures that nobody can see, but it's this giant billowing leather coat that completely hides his body. It looks good on him, except for the collar. Like, the collar is, like, really weird, because his hair was, like, super long at this point, and so, like, it just kind of got all weird up in the face.
What's next?
So, up next, we have Nipple Ring Taker. This was a design choice. 1,000%. This is the chest piece with the shoulder pads, with the like, actual chain ball nipple rings. I've seen this thing in person, close up. I think I have pictures of it somewhere. It's just, it's impressive, but it was 1,000% supervillain design choice.
Yeah.
Like, this is, like, Ministry era Taker, and he was going for a look. He achieved the look, but just, I think what's, like, just throws me off is the nipple rings. I don't understand the point of the nipple rings at all.
Wouldn't say they're tacky. They were special.
They're not tacky. It's just...
A choice. It was a design choice.
It's just odd. Like, because the whole thing, it's really detailed, and so it's really neat to see up close, but it's just like, sir, why are there nipple rings? Like, is it Mark Calloway? I'm gonna ask this question. Does Mark Calloway have his nipples pierced and nobody knows?
He may have during that time.
I mean, he's into tattoos and piercings. He could have had his nipples pierced. We have no idea.
We do not know.
He did not go tits out in this period, so we don't know. But it's just...
It would then explain why he did things in the ministry where he was all covered up.
Does he have nipple piercings?
Probably.
God, did we just invent a new theory?
Yes. I mean, he did... Anyway, we're going to just move past
Well,
that.
I mean, okay, no, let's talk about this for a second. So, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility because he did have the eyebrow ring.
He did.
During this time.
He did.
So he could have gotten experimental and he could have gotten the nip-nops pierced. We don't know. It would explain it on the top.
Oh, yeah, it would. Oh, I gotta go back to Pat Taker because I just remember something. Because it was that era. Because we're talking about, we're doing makeup choices too. The eye drop. The teardrop that he put on his face.
The prison teardrop?
Yeah, that was a thing.
Wasn't that for somebody, was that for the Kane storyline or was that,
that
for
that
like...
was before. Teardrop was long before.
Why did he do that?
I don't know. Again, I don't know. It was like 96 era because that was Bat Taker. It was all a thing. I don't know. He was, again, weird things.
He was trying things. He was being experimental.
Okay. Ministry Taker. Where are we putting that?
Okay, so this is classic
Big
ministry.
Where he does all his seances, robes, Taker.
Things. Mm-hmm. Actually, what's incredibly ironic about this.
Huh.
Is that, like, I drew in high school, because that's how old I am. In high school, like, before I ever started wrestling, or was watching wrestling, I drew, like, a black robe that looked exactly like this. And my mom made it for me. So I actually technically have an Undertaker ministry-style robe without the hood.
Nice.
I give this a C. It's okay. The facial hair is... We've got the full Furby action. I just... In terms of all of the Ministry of Darkness looks that he did, this was the tamest of all of them because he got really experimental with his gear in this period. I mean, we're talking like keyhole cutouts and, you know, leather and with nipple rings and super tight gear because prior to this, all of his gear had more or less not been form-fitting. He'd had more of a looser top. And in this period, he got like really... I don't want to say slutty because that's not the right word, but he just got really form-fitting gear and really tight gear because this was like, you remember the tights that had all the cutouts on them or had like the detail work on them where it was like the stripes?
Mm-hmm.
That was this period for him. So I feel like the robe is kind of a C. This is his formal wear. He could have done a little bit better with the formal wear, but it's a good robe. Like I'm sure it was warm and comfy.
Warm and comfy. Okay, next.
It just, it's a nice robe, but it kind of screams like a little Spirit Halloween to me.
So he went out of his comfort zone on the next one.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. Okay, so I had to throw this on here mainly because I found the picture. So there was a TV show, and I think it was on Sci-Fi, that was called Poltergeist. And it's basically a drama series. It didn't last very long, but it's about a series like ghost hunters dealing with poltergeists. And so he was on there as a soul hunter, basically like a bounty hunter from hell. Can we just talk about one, how nice his hair looks? Two, like the makeup's pretty cool. Like I just think this whole thing is just badass. Like it looks good on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got a little skin in the front, you know, but I like this. I think it's good.
So where do you put it?
I put it as an A. I think it's a quality look.
Okay. Alright, what's next?
So up next, let me get to the right document. We have American Badass Denim Edition. So there's several American Badass Biker Taker editions because he got very experimental with his fashion in this period. This is the OG look that he came back with the bandana and the denim shirt and the black pants and the long leather coat. I'm going to give this an A.
Okay.
I think it's a good look. I think it fits what he wanted it to do. I don't think the shirt is the best fit on him, but it's kind of going back to that whole loose sort of top vibe that he had in the early part of his career. Also, he was very, very happy because he was getting fed. So he hadn't quite lost the vacation weight yet.
No, he
didn't. Because he'd been eating really well.
Yeah, he was.
Which there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. He looked good at that weight. I'm just saying. So now we're going to go on to the very infamous Great American Bash. American Badass Undertaker with the snakeskin pants.
Yeah, apparently it did not go on to the tier list, but yeah, we're going to talk about it. We're going to cover it, put it with that one now, because apparently the picture was corrupted. Or I'm going to work on it. Just talk about it.
So, this is almost a visual. So Undertaker decided to avert from his normal look. He decided to update it, as he wants to do. And he went with a singlet top and what I can only describe as 1999-2001 snake faux snake skin pants.
Yeah.
Brown and gold snakeskin pants, and he wore these at the Great American Bash against Kurt Angle. It was not the best look for him.
No.
I'm gonna go with it was a design choice.
For reference sake.
By the way, if you're listening to the archive of this and you're not watching it on Twitch, if you want to see all the pictures, it will be on the Twitch.
There you go for reference, chat.
Yeah. These, and that's not even the best picture of them. The best picture is when he's doing his entrance and
yeah.
He looks like he's working it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm going to go with these were a design choice. He tried something. I don't think it necessarily worked because he wore them one time and we never saw them again.
Yeah.
Like they never saw the light of day again.
So we're going to put that in after the fact.
Yeah.
Because it saves us a weird file type.
Yay, weird file type.
Yeah, that was the AIV.
Whatever. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't notice it didn't get put over. All right, next.
All right, so now we have Casual Biker Taker Remix.
That we do have.
Which, yes.
So
this is when he was, you know, walking around in his casual clothes, all West Coast Choppers gear, just kind of being as close to Mark as we've ever seen. I don't have a problem with this. I would put this as a C. Like, it was just, he's walking around in street clothes, which...
Very casual.
Very casual. We saw more and more of the skull caps at this point. That's where they started working their way in.
It was, in fact, a look.
It wasn't a bad look. It was just, you know, he's just walking around in his street clothes.
Okay, what's next?
Up next, Dead Man Inc. I'm going with an A. I'm giving this an A.
Okay, works for me.
You can tell how confident he is depending on what he's wearing, and he was very confident in this period. Like, he was very comfortable in what he was wearing. We also had the whole tits out look. And, like, it just worked for him. Because it... What?
I'm looking at what the next picture was and it made me chuckle.
And, like, I don't know why, but if you look at him, like, he's not as comfortable when he wears color.
No.
If you've ever noticed that about him. So, when he's back in all black, he's much more comfortable.
Oh, yeah. Because
that's all he knows how to wear is all black.
Then there was this. The Taker and Sarah look. I just...
I don't want to quite put that in a design choice. He looks good.
He also doesn't look completely healthy. A little bit.
I kind of want to give that a C. Because I feel like that was... And I want to give it a C just for the storyline. And how terrible that storyline was. Like, it's no fault of his and it's no fault of hers. But it was a terrible, god-awful storyline. In which you had DDP stalking the Undertaker's wife. And basically, the Undertaker just murdered DDP across the United States for about 3 months. So yeah. And this was the really weird time in the early 2000s where fashion was just, it was a thing.
Lindsay, I'm going to overrule you. It's no longer a C.
What do you mean?
It's no longer a C.
What do you mean it's no longer a C?
It's a new category. He did it for love.
There we go! There we go. He did it for love. Like a good husband does.
He did it for love.
He did it for love. I am a completely... Yeah, because I don't feel like it was like a C.
It wasn't.
I don't want to be like, it was a design choice, because it clearly wasn't.
No, he did it for love.
He did it for love. I can accept this.
You can accept that one. Okay. All right, next.
Up next, we have Big Evil Taker. This is where he turned heel, he cut his hair off with a weed whacker, and he ran around... As heel Undertaker. Honestly, once he grew his hair out... By the way, just out of general curiosity, and if he ever hears this, I mean absolutely no offense, sir. But is he adverse to barbers? It's the amount of times that I have read that he doesn't take care of his hair, and he like what the story behind this was, he just got tired of having long hair, and so he supposedly just had his wife cut his hair off.
I mean, that makes sense.
Just like when he decided to shave his head, he just shaved his head. He didn't have it professionally done. He just shaved his head.
It makes sense. So where are we putting it?
Honestly, I think this is like an A or a B. Like, because he could carry that haircut. Carried it, especially when he let it grow out a little bit. And he kind of had it like the dark chestnut brown. Like, it wasn't black, but it wasn't like that weird red that he was dyeing it.
Big red.
It was like the one that we have. That was a nice look for him. That was a really good look for him.
So B works?
B works.
All right, next.
Up next, we have Remix Undertaker to mid-2000s.
Okay.
This is the Return of the Dead Man, where we have the hat and the coat and the tights. Very simple, very straightforward. Actually, the remix was technically with the leather pants. That's what he came back with Mania with. But this was sort of like the hat and the coat era.
I'd say B.
I'd say it's a B, because it's very simple. It's, for a long time, it was very simple. It was very straightforward. And then he kind of started working some of the classic green coats back in. But he wasn't terribly experimental with his gear at this point. It was just, he had kind of like the demon logo on his thighs, and that was it. That was like the only like real embellishment that he kind of had to his gear.
All right, how about Dirty Harry Undertaker?
This is an S. How often are you going to get this?
Once in a lifetime.
It's an S. End of story. Just because he looks good in it. And speaking of wigs, let's just, you know, pull that one forward. Let's do Wig Undertaker.
Wig Undertaker.
For the wig, it was a design choice. Because otherwise it's the hat and the coat and the normal gear that we're used to seeing him in. But, like, this was when the Undertaker decided to act like a crazy ex-girlfriend and cut all his hair off because Triple H wouldn't pay attention to him.
Yeah.
And so for the promos, they found him a wig, which I'm not adverse to him wearing a wig. Clearly. You've got it in the wrong spot. You put it in. He did it for love.
Oh, my bad.
Unless you want to say he did it for the love of Hunter and then...
I mean, technically.
Technically. But to basically cover up that he'd shaved his head, they found him this wig. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's a decent wig, except it's a really bouncy, voluminous wig.
And they love using it for every picture they use for his comebacks.
It's because he has hair. Because you can actually see his hair. It's not tucked up under a bandana or a skull cap or a baseball hat. Or it's braided really thin. Like, it's loose, so you can... It's dry and it's loose and it's, like, thick, so you can actually see it. That's why. But for whatever reason, when they... Going back to the wig, it's very voluminous. And it's got waves in it, and for whatever reason, they didn't... I don't know if they can, because I'm not sure if it's a natural or an acrylic, but they didn't straighten it to make it look more like his natural hair. Like, if you see... Can you blow the picture up?
Give me a second.
Like, if you look at it, you know right away that's not his hair, because in the entire 30 years of this man's career, he has never once worn his hair like this. Like, there's nothing natural going on there. That's like... curled. Like, that's... He's never worn his hair like that. So it's like you sit here and you look at it and you're like, that's a wig. It's a good wig, but it's a wig.
Completely a wig.
So yeah, it has to go in. It was a design choice. Simply because they just didn't bother to straighten it, and I don't know if it's something that they took it out of the package and they just stuck it on his head, or if they let it adjust. I don't know. I don't wear wigs, so I don't know how you do all that. But yeah, it was a design choice. For sure. So just tie the two wigs together. Up next, Leather Pants Undertaker from 2010.
I say that's either A or S.
I would put it as this very solid A, for sure. I don't think it's quite S tier, but this was synonymous with him for years, and it was a really great look for him. It worked well. He transitioned away from the tights and went back to the pants. And yeah, I think it was a good look. It fit him really nicely.
It did. All right, what's next?
Up next, we have the infamous Super Shredder Undertaker.
One that's talked about for years and years and years.
In terms of ring coats, it's actually one of his better ring coats. It's just very big. And I think the main concern with it is that it looks like he can't move in it, and the druid hood portion hangs so far over his face that you really can't see his face. Mm-hmm. And that makes you question if he can walk or not. Like, actually, like, see to be able to get to the ring.
Yeah.
So, I would put this at an A or a B. I think it's a good coat.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot. This is the very tail end of his career. He just got... It was once a year at Mania that he was showing up. And so, he put everything into the ring coat for Mania. And that's why we got some of the ring coats that we got. Was just because... It's the one time a year he's going to be there. So he's got to look fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
So there we are. So moving on. Jingle Jangle Bedazzled Furby Undertaker. This was WrestleMania 30.
Yep. The Brock one.
This is the Brock match where he wore the red and he got very experimental with the coat. I don't know. Because it's like I want to put it in. It was a design choice because it was very clearly a design choice. But at the same time, I kind of want to put it at a C. This was not my favorite look for him. I really actually didn't care for it at all.
I'm surprised you have a memory of it.
Unlike Brent, I don't live in the hypothetical.
I mean,
it happened.
Now it did. For a while there.
Well, for a while there, it just didn't even happen. Like, it was...
But now it happened. But where do we put it? We're going with what? What are we going with? Design? It was going with what? C? Yeah.
I have to put it at a C because it was a design choice, but it was... I don't think they were 100% happy with it either because I think it was the next year or the next time he appeared that he wore a different version of this coat and the lapels were black. So, I'm not sure exactly what happened here. Like, this, they tried a thing. I don't think the red worked for him. And so they just redid it in black. And the black looks a lot better. Because honestly, it's not even the coat and the hat. It's the Furby. It's the fucking Furby. I'm just going to say it. Why he insists on wearing his facial hair like that, I don't know. But I wish he wouldn't.
Yeah.
Because he just has this giant tuft on his chin.
Okay, so one I thought we didn't have, remixed hat and coat, where does that go? I think that's S tier.
Is that him in the chair?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's S tier.
Okay, just want to make sure we got it covered.
Yeah, also that's a wonderful picture of him, I love that picture.
Okay. So from the Furby, he went the 31 with the short hair.
God, the short hair.
That's a C.
The buzz cut.
So we also have Mohawk Taker as well.
The short hair was the really awkward I'm growing my hair out phase because he had shaved his head for End of an Era. And then he was kind of awkwardly growing it back after that.
Mm-hmm.
But then he like reshaved it for Brock.
Yeah.
And then he started growing it back out again.
When he took the year off, yeah.
When he took the year off. And so this is just awkward grow out hair face Taker. He, based on what we know from the documentaries, he just, you know, I don't think he was really feeling it at this point. And so, yeah, you can just kind of see it in him that this was not necessarily the best time in his life personally. So
Mohawk Taker.
It was a design choice. It was so a design choice. Not a good one, but it was a design choice.
It was a choice.
I applaud him for trying it, like having the courage to try it, because I think he's dealing with what a lot of the male wrestlers deal with, which is that, you know, he's losing his hair. And in part, he's losing his hair because he's dyed it black for 30 years and it just got fried out and he burned his hair off. And he shaved his head the first time, I think, because he just was losing his hair. It was so fried out. Like, you could tell, like, you go back and you look at his hair in 2010 and it's just fried. Like, it's just completely fried from all the hair dye because he doesn't condition it like he should when you dye your hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he's doing it professionally or he's having it done professionally. He's just doing it himself, which would make complete sense because if you're on the road as much as they are, it's just easier for you to dye your own hair than it is to go to a stylist and do it. But part, like, the key thing in dyeing your hair, especially repeatedly, is that you really have to condition it very, very well, because otherwise it will just dry out and fry. And so that's kind of where he was at with it. And so he shaved his head the first time to save his hair, and then he grew it back long enough and he started dyeing it again, and then he just fried it out again, and so he reshaved it again. And then it's just really never come back the way that it should have.
So then you have the final classic Undertaker look from 33 and 34 and so on. B?
Yeah, I'd give this a solid B.
Okay. And then
because it was a variation on a theme and he had a really nice raincoat. Again, this is where he put the effort into the raincoat because, again, he's showing up once a year, so he needs to make sure he looks good. It's not on this list, by the way, but the druid one that he had for... Shit, who did he get that for? Was that Punk?
Yeah.
The one that he wore for Punk, that's an S tier. Because that's a really good robe.
Yeah, we never found a picture of that one.
I have pictures of it somewhere. But yeah, it's not on the list, but honorary mention, that gets an S tier. This was just a rehash on a theme, and so it was good, it was cool, but it was just kind of there. In comparison to everything else on this list, it's just kind of a B.
And then final taker look.
This particular look, I feel like, is kind of an S.
Okay.
Because, and the AJ, what he wore for the match with AJ, I feel like was an S. Because you can tell that he's exceptionally comfortable in it, very confident in it. It's his street clothes, but it's a nice mix of the unholy or the holy
Trinity.
Unholy
the
Trinity.
The unholy Trinity.
Which is Taker, Mark, and...
himself and I.
Yeah, he, himself, and him. Anyway, it's a nice mix where he brings it all together.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been waiting years to see him do that. So the fact that he did it the one time with AJ... This just to me is an S tier look. Like, I think he just looks really good in this. Again, this man understands and knows how to wear black because that's all he's done for 30 years of his life. So obviously he can wear it really, really well. He pulls this he can pull the leather off. He can pull the whole thing off. So yeah, this is an S tier to me.
So there's your list. Many faces of the Undertaker.
You can tell which takers I liked and which takers I didn't like. Don't tell him.
Tell him.
Don't tell him. Please don't tell him. And if he ever sees this, I'm really sorry.
Well, with that, we're done.
We're done. So you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Saturday night, midnight-ish, another edition of CBRSCBLive.com, GrandTheGreatTheBake.com, as we're on the road to a decade plus four Sunday nights, WGR Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio, getting down to the nitty-gritty and the all-time greatest. Tune in Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. It's at WAC. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of WAC. It's at WAC Radio Show on all social media platforms and wherever you get your podcasts. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use creator code RocketSock or
Lens M. Ward.
In the 4-9-AM shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag epic partners.
Buy the League of Legends skin in the shop. Do it.
Please.
Also, League of Legends and all the Riot games are now in the Epic Launcher. So, there you go.
There you go. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lens Ward, LNSWARD. Don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you next week. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.